What would you do if you knew exactly when you would die? In 1969, four siblings from New York's Lower East Side, Simon, Clara, Daniel, and Varya, sneak away to visit a mysterious fortune teller who reveals to each of them the exact date of their death. This single afternoon transforms their lives forever, setting them on divergent paths shaped by this forbidden knowledge. The prophecy creates an invisible wall between them as they struggle with a question both simple and profound. If your time is limited, do you live cautiously or burn brightly? Some embrace their fate, others run from it, but all four siblings find themselves haunted by the fortune teller's words. As their lives unfold across five decades, we witness how foreknowledge becomes both gift and curse, offering clarity, yet stealing the comfort of uncertainty that most of us take for granted. The summer heat is oppressive as 13-year-old Varya leads her siblings through the crowded Lower East Side streets to a tenement on Hester Street. The woman they find is unsettling, with eyes like black static that seem to penetrate their souls. One by one, the children enter her apartment and emerge changed. Varya learns she'll live to 88, dying on January 21, 2044. Clara receives a midlife sentence, January 1, 1991, at 31. Daniel will die on January 13, 2006, and young Simon, only 7, is given the shortest life of all. They leave in stunned silence, making an unspoken pact never to discuss what they've learned. But the knowledge settles into their bones, creating fault lines that will eventually fracture their family. When their father, Saul, dies unexpectedly in 1978, these cracks begin to widen. If you knew when you would die, how would you choose to live? For Simon, the answer is clear: with fierce authenticity and without restraint. Knowing his time is shortest, Simon flees with Clara to San Francisco in 1978. In the Castro district, he feels immediate belonging. This is where I'm supposed to be. Simon transforms, becoming a platform dancer, discovering ballet, and falling in love with Robert, who challenges him to open his heart. Despite physically excruciating first classes, Simon perseveres, eventually performing as Icarus, fitting for someone flying close to the sun. Simon embraces life because of its brevity, yet tragically contracts AIDS, fulfilling the prophecy. After his death, Clara channels grief into magic as the Immortalist, believing in spirit knocks from Simon that confirm consciousness survives death. When Clara meets Raj, a mechanic who becomes her husband, her career flourishes. Their daughter Ruby brings unexpected joy, though Clara struggles as a mother, haunted by her approaching death date. As January 1991 nears, Clara deteriorates, becoming paranoid and alcoholic, neglecting Ruby while obsessing over the prophecy, ultimately fulfilling it herself. While his siblings flee to California, Daniel chooses a conventional path, becoming a military doctor in upstate New York. Screening recruits provides the order he craves after losing his father and brother prematurely. Though outwardly rejecting the fortune teller's prediction, Daniel grows obsessed as January 13, 2006 approaches. He tracks down Bruna Costello, now on the FBI's most wanted list, desperate to prove her a fraud. His situation worsens under wartime pressures. When criticized for rejecting a recruit with asthma, Daniel faces a moral dilemma as the military has lowered standards due to personnel shortages. His adherence to protocols threatens his career, compounding his personal turmoil. Daniel's journey culminates in confronting Bruna at gunpoint in her Ohio trailer. She reveals she left her criminal family hoping to use her gift positively, believing knowledge of death helps people live freely. When FBI agent Eddie intervenes, the confrontation ends tragically, fulfilling the prophecy Daniel fought to disprove. Isn't there something universally human in Daniel's attempt to control the uncontrollable? His story shows how our efforts to escape destiny often lead us directly toward it. Varya, the eldest gold sibling, responds to her prophecy by attempting to control death through longevity research on rhesus monkeys. Her predicted death at 88 burdens her with witnessing her siblings' earlier deaths. Despite scientific training, Varya remains influenced by the fortune teller. Her research represents an attempt to master mortality, while her obsessive-compulsive behaviors reveal deeper anxieties. She practices strict caloric restriction and avoids relationships through rigid routines. Her relationship with Frida, a self-harming monkey on hunger strike, mirrors Varya's self-imposed constraints. Like Frida, Varya has caged herself in isolation for protection. Everything changes when journalist Luke reveals he's the child she gave up for adoption in 1984. His accusation that she's just like your monkeys, locked up and underfed, exposes how her controlled lifestyle has diminished her capacity for human connection. How many of us build similar cages, thinking they'll protect us while actually imprisoning us? Varya's story suggests controlling death might cost us what makes life worth living. Did the fortune teller predict the future, or did her prophecies become self-fulfilling because the gold siblings believed them? This ambiguity allows interpretation through either mystical or psychological lenses. Each sibling dies exactly as predicted, yet through choices seemingly fulfilling the prophecy. Simon embraces a high-risk lifestyle. Clara's supernatural obsession leads to suicide on the foretold date. Daniel's confrontation with the fortune teller creates the circumstances of his death. Only Varya remains alive, still years from her predicted death. The novel suggests knowing one's death date is a dangerous burden. The fortune teller tells Varya, "Character is fate." Yet the siblings' stories reveal how foreknowledge shapes character, creating circular causality where prediction influences behavior that fulfills it. In final scenes, Varya's mother dismisses the fortune teller as junk, helping Varya see that in seeking to control their fates, the siblings missed the gift of uncertainty. The novel's profound insight: certainty becomes its own prison, while freedom comes from embracing the uncertainty that allows for possibility. What makes our lives meaningful isn't longevity, but depth of connection, authentic expression, and embracing both joy and sorrow. The gold siblings demonstrate varied responses to mortality. Simon's fierce authenticity, Clara's magical transcendence, Daniel's rational control, and Varya's scientific life extension. Ruby, Clara's daughter, represents balance by honoring her mother's magical legacy while pursuing medicine and maintaining family bonds, understanding that magic is just one way to keep people alive. Meaning comes from our connections while alive, not defeating death. The family watch symbolizes their true inheritance, time itself, both measured and mysterious. We all live with mortality's clock. The question is whether we hear it as threat or invitation. The fortune teller believed knowledge of death helps people live freely. Yet true freedom comes from accepting death's inevitability while embracing life's beauty. What would change if you knew your exact end date? Perhaps the better question, why wait to live authentically now? The gold siblings show that death isn't just life's conclusion. It's the shadow giving life its depth and meaning.